Here I am. Good morning, everyone, once again. It's good to see everybody here today. I wanted to tell you, like Carrie just told us, actually, that today's gospel story is about two disciples who are trying to figure out really just what the heck happened to them. You know, one minute, they were marching to Jerusalem with Jesus through the sea of worshipers, waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna. And then within a week, a short week, it all went sideways. Jesus was falsely accused, arrested, convicted, and then publicly humiliated and brutally executed. It was really inconceivable, but Jesus had been killed. He was placed in a tomb, and the disciples were understandably terrified and confused at this point. And so, fearing for their own lives, they hid out in a room somewhere around Jerusalem. And certainly the Romans or Sanhedrin would certainly be after them next. And then Sunday morning came, and the women reported that the stone had been rolled away and that there was no body in the tomb. So within 1 week, these first followers of Jesus saw their whole world fall apart, all their plans and expectations vaporized on that cross. They self-isolated in fear and found themselves suddenly adrift on a dark sea of uncertainty. So locked away, they waited, not knowing what was next. And they tried to make sense of what this would all mean from this point forward. Now, two of the disciples just couldn't stay put. They needed to do something, so they took a walk. Not a bad idea when you need to think some things through. So before we hear the story, please join me in prayer. Ever-present God, you who are always surprising and unexpected, yet your word is a lamp that guides our feet, a light along the darkened path ahead. Illuminate our hearts this morning in this time of confusion and disorientation. May your word give us insight, understanding, and hope. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was in Luke's gospel, this is the very first sighting of the risen Christ. And he comes to two of his followers that we have never even heard of before or will hear of again. Jesus is nothing if not surprising. So hear this reading from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. That same day that the tomb was found empty, the two of the disciples were walking to the village of Emmaus. It's about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them. But they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what happened during the last few days?" He said, "Well, what happened?" And they said, "The things that happened to Jesus in the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he would be the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened, but now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check, and they found it empty, just as the women had said. But they didn't see Jesus. And then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophet said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer, and only then enter into his glory?" And then he started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. And he acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him. "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done." So he went in with them, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us?" They didn't waste a minute. They were up and out and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together talking away. "It really happened. The master has been raised up. Simon saw him." And then the two went over everything that happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. The word of God for the people of God. What a story. These two disciples were whirling from the events that suddenly unfolded in Jerusalem. The horrific experience was raw. It was just happened. So we're talking about this very same day and evening of Jesus' resurrection. These guys didn't know what to do next, but they needed to do something, so they took a walk. It's what many of us are doing when we need to think through some things. You know, you go for a nice long walk, gather your thoughts. I know a lot of us are finding walks very therapeutic in our time of isolation and uncertainty about the future. Everybody's going out for walks, and it's a good thing. But I also think there's a lot more here in this story that we may find helpful in our current struggle to reorient a way forward out of the pandemic. The first thing is that after any traumatic or high emotion experience, we always need time to quietly settle and evaluate. We need time to step back and process what happened, to try to make sense of it. We yearn to see the puzzle pieces fit back together. For those of us who follow Jesus, and we trust that God works all things together for good. But how does our faith fold into this experience? It's okay not to come up with an answer, believe me, and often we won't. But it is important to take time to quietly reflect and be open to what God is doing now. Secondly, one of the best ways of sorting out confusion and uncertainty is actually to talk about it with somebody. And that's exactly what these two are doing here in the scripture. They were deep in conversation. When we put our thoughts into words and we articulate our questions and our feelings, things somehow begin to take shape. That's why we talk therapy is really so effective. Our anxieties thrive on what we keep inside. I've heard it said that we are only as sick as our secrets. Well, that may be true, but we might be as sick as what we keep inside and don't express. Sometimes they're secrets. but it's our unarticulated fears will expand out of control until we openly and honestly talk them through. And notice how in this scripture that Jesus doesn't just launch into his explanation of what just happened. He first asked the two to tell in their own words what their experience has been. They share their disappointment honestly and transparently. Cleopas says, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Effectively working through trauma involves not only articulating what happened, that's an important part, but also how you honestly feel about what happened. So many people I speak with these days, they don't want to admit how difficult and disappointing this quarantine has been. They feel like so many people have it so much worse that their own pain is invalid by comparison, and they should just be grateful for what they do have. Now, we do need to recognize the suffering of others, obviously, and gratitude is a strong weapon against self-pity. There's no doubt about it. But we also must learn to validate how we truly feel. It's so important. Now, telling yourself or anyone else that you shouldn't feel that way simply denies what is really hurting. Dismissing our emotions for any reason only gives them more power. There's no chance of transforming our pain if we don't honestly articulate how we are hurting. If we don't transform our pain, we will always end up transmitting our pain in all sorts of destructive ways. If we don't transform our pain, we'll certainly transmit it. The third thing I notice in this story is when they explain to this foreigner walking with them the things that had happened before they recognized Jesus, it becomes clear that they held very tightly to their religious understandings about the Messiah. When that all vaporized on the cross, they were shattered. As disciples of Jesus, they certainly knew the scriptures, but neither their religious tradition nor scriptural knowledge helped them recognize Jesus right in front of them. In fact, they were blinded by their religious certainty, making it impossible to see beyond their own expectations. They failed to understand how the path of redemption is not a steady march toward blissful victory, but rather a painful and frightening journey through the valley of the shadowed death. Jesus explains the sweeping and consistently repeated story found over and over again in Scripture. It's a meta story that is also reflected in all of nature and validated even in our own life experiences. You see, every life suffers and succumbs to death in order to rise again to new life. This is the redemption cycle in which the true Messiah reveals the way through and beyond the forces of death, rising to new life. And in doing so, he liberated all of humanity and creation from the tyranny of death as a final ending. Jesus spells this out to them, and they still don't recognize him. This brings me to my final point. Words are important, but they're not enough to transform us. Words must be followed by action. And these two disciples, who were deeply suffering in profound grief, were not so self-absorbed that they couldn't invite this foreigner to stay with them They may not have recognized Jesus walking with them, but they did not forget his teaching. They welcomed the stranger. It was this loving hospitality that led to that moment when Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. That is the moment when their eyes were opened. It was a tangible act of loving outreach that opened their eyes to recognize the risen Christ was sitting right in front of them. Every time that we reenact the Eucharist, this holy sacrament of communion that we're about to do, we take, we bless, we break, and we give, just as Jesus taught us. No matter what the condition of our soul is, we are invited to participate in this blessing that Jesus left for us. Through the sacrament of communion, the resurrected Christ becomes more than one incarnate prophet from 2,000 years ago. In the breaking of the bread, we are all invited to physically and spiritually experience Christ present among us and in all of us and walking with us. In communion, abstraction becomes tangible and real. This is the good news of the gospel. The resurrected Christ walks beside us today. We don't have to do anything special to earn his presence or his love. God just remains with us, whether we recognize him or not. In our time of dislocation, disappointment, confusion, and uncertainty, like the two disciples, we also should go for long walks. We should share the fragile places of our soul with someone. We should remain open to what new thing God is doing among us. And always remember that we follow in the way of Jesus, who welcomed the stranger, fed the hungry, set the captives free, and showed us that love is always and only the way to new life. As we break bread and take the cup together in just a few minutes, we will remember that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. May our hearts burn within us, and may our eyes be open. Even now, Jesus walks beside us. Amen.